Every second, every minute, man, I swear that she can.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Jones Chronicles. I'm your host, Christina. It's been quite the battling week. If you are watching what's happening between Drake and Kendrick Lamar, I do not know anything about rap beefs. I like some songs that Drake has done. I like some songs that Kendrick has done, but I don't like either one of these individuals, mainly for the fact that both are extremely homophobic. And I don't think I would ever want to be in their aura in real life. However, when trash people like to trash talk about each other, well, I'm gonna go get a bucket of popcorn. Although they got a meme out there of Barack Obama very decisively, didn't even take a moment and hesitate before he answered on who would win a rap battle. And that clear winner was the only one that is known to be a much more skilled rapper. Not only that, you're coming from two different type of, you know, backgrounds that inspire such freestyles, if you will. What I'm trying to say is Drake is from Canada. Kendrick is from America. And these are not the same Black experience. There's difference between a Canadian Black person and a British Black person, a French Black person. We don't all have the same experience. And the only Black diaspora, it's probably the wrong word usage, but it's what I'm going with right now. The only Black Americans, I think, or Black people that I think are more hood than Black Americans are Africans.
And down. Where you from, nigga? Fuck who you know. Where you from, my nigga?
Christina, what does that have to do with anything? What I'm trying to say is Drake really came up against someone whose experience was Compton and thought he was going to come out the winner. What's funny is all of the Black Twitter gifs and memes that go along with this, because not only did Drake drop his diss track, as he was trying to pat himself on the back, you had Kendrick Lamar drop his right after, as if, and he's done this like twice now. So I know that years ago, he was probably writing songs like, if this motherfucker was to ever think that he was coming for me, I'm going to have so many that I'm just going to clap back so hard, and it's going to be dependent on how much he want to come at me. And I got them all lined up. Just all I need to do is scroll through and pick one. And the best one was the one about the family and about their alleged pedophilic ways, which
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Men with money and power can be trash. I'm not saying all of them are. I'm saying a lot don't grow out of that mentality that they cap their growth at. And that's usually about 24, 25. So, of course, they're not looking for anyone in the age bracket. It's so prolific. Even when it's legally done, that it doesn't surprise me that there's shit going on at parties and girls being at them parties that ain't old enough to be at them parties, and nobody's fucking checking for ID, nor cares to. But I digress, because it's all alleged, and his people, and they was calling him out for having kids. I mean, if I was Drake.
Are you not embarrassed? This is really embarrassing.
he keep trying to clap back, and I'm like, nah, you need to go ahead and throw in the towel and go take a sabbatical back to Ontario somewhere. Like I said, I do not have any preference for one or the other. I'm just basing it on the diss tracks that went out. I have no dog in this fight. Based on the diss tracks that went out, that man is deceased. I don't know how he's ever going to step into the rap ring ever again. He needs to take his millions over to the pop charts and know that it is no longer disputed. It is undisputedly your position. And that's fine. I would love to be making money, that kind of money, for whatever talent that I have. Keep it blessed. But sometimes that ego gets in your way. And sometimes you bit off a little bit more than you could chew.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
The most hilarious part is that J. Cole called himself trying to be on Drake's side of things, but quickly bowed his ass out.
Sorry.
I will say it was much more distracting than some of the other bits of real world knowledge coming my way, like the Guatemalan rape epidemic going on since the pandemic, that girls between the age of 10 and 14 are being molested by family members or neighbors, ending up pregnant. 13 girls every day in 2020 alone have been victims. And it's tragic that those that they should trust the most are the ones that are taking advantage of them. Then they're shamed for not living with their rapists. And to avoid that stigma, they would have to do so. There's even a case I saw where the young girl, 13 years old, unfortunately lives right next door to the man who molested her, and her case is ongoing. And until she wins said case, she still has to live next to this person. And she's afraid that he's just going to do it again because there's no laws that are protecting these women. Abortion is illegal unless the mom's life is in danger. So these children's lives are irreversibly over for an action they themselves are a victim to. It's crazy. Not only that, if you're an illegal immigrant, because they also have an immigration, and that makes sense with what's happening with Haiti. We're gonna see an increase of immigrants. I watched a couple of documentaries talking about both sides of the issue because I don't think it's black and white. And I used to be very black and white about it, but it is far more complicated than I think my naturally humanitarian, democratic, whatever you want to call that, nature would push back on. Because there are a lot of men and molesters and people that are not good trying to get in this country right now. And there are women and children trying to get in this country right now, but they are not the ones making it to the borders. You know, we've had plenty of news crews going down to the border and showing that particular part of the story, but you have to remember that the news, unfortunately, is pushing their own agenda as well. So until you're down there, until you've been down there on a day-to-day basis, month-to-month basis, yearly basis, you know, one soundbite actually doesn't cover a lot. If anything, a lot of the women and children are taking the more dangerous routes through the Darien Pass, which is crazily a tourist destination.
Oh, hello.
Where a lot of illegal immigrants make the the pass through very inaccessible lands, we see it as a challenge, and to them it's their chance at salvation. But many do not make it through because there's plenty of gangs there, there's violence, there's people being exploited. It's all about money, you know, for food, water. You can't take a lot with you if you're going through the Darien Pass. I mean, just thinking of babies in this wilderness is insane to me. But yeah, due to not completely, right? There's those that are not the best trying to flow into this country. And then there's those that are trying to escape the violence that's happening in Haiti right now that is rather under the radar, in my humble opinion, in the American stratosphere, which shouldn't be, because that issue is making its way to our borders, and it has already created a lot of conflict in Guatemala because now they feel that our limited funds are needing to go to the services of refugees when we are already in a poverty-stricken area, getting the limited funds for our own free clinic. So I get both sides of it, and it was kind of rude for her to say it right in front of the patient, but that's just how she felt. She's like, look, I would love to help everyone else, but I still have Guatemalan women around here that need this exact same care. And now we're being even more stretched due to the influx of immigration. And it's mainly, though, also the allowance of immigrants into the country and not setting them up with any type of provision or help in that country to be able to work. It's not like a lot of them are not trying to come here and work. And even when they do get to the United States, that's another part of the story they don't tell, is how many people actually go back to Guatemala or Haiti because they can't get anything here. If you don't have an ID, that is a lot. And then being caught and then being sent back. So it's a tragic situation that I think that no one has the right answer to. Wall is not a fucking answer. But I don't think that the way in which there is a criminal element to it that is far more prolific than what the pro-immigrants would have you believe. And I would say I'm pro-immigration, but there needs to be a lot more statutes in place on how to handle immigration and the integration of it. It's only just no or yes. That's it. And I think that there needs to be a middle ground, especially as, you know, we don't have a problem with these military men and women if there's a war coming on, you know, trying to come up in our country. But yeah, I actually watched another documentary where I was listening to someone who was a border patrol, and he did it for like a year, and it was very clear that he had the same response. Like, I'm not saying that there are not a lot of tragic stories and the reason why people are fleeing the circumstances that they are fleeing. That is a truth, but there's also another truth that is an unsavory part of it that is a reason why the anti-immigration. And then if you go back to Castro, which is another part of history I think is a little misunderstood. But yeah, that motherfucker was evil. He really did. When we opened our borders, they took out everyone from the prison and the psych units, and they tossed them on ships and they threw them to America. And to say that the country did not have a strong difference between before and after would just be a lie. But there's no way you can see some of these women that want better, who are doing the best that they can, who are being taken advantage of, being forced to give birth on a concrete floor with no electricity or running water, being turned away from a hospital by soldiers just because of their immigration status. That's a lot to take in. As any mother, you know, no matter what, you're like, you should be able to be given that very basic humanity driven thing, which is, you know, bringing a child into at least a clean environment. And then the way they treat children once they die, like the mother, I saw this one burial where she had to stand outside the hospital with a coffin, the grandmother, and wait for the child's body to be released. She went in, she was sick, she died. The mother disappeared, could not be found for the rest of the documentary. And they ended up burying her at night, and just the way in which there was no empathy to that profound loss and how just rejected by society, you know, like I said, that's when it starts getting really, really complicated, where you can't just take your, what makes you human, your empathy away. Let's talk about how effective the UN is, because I'm pretty sure they're not that fucking effective. They seem to be always around when there's minerals. How much aid they provide is based on protecting UN interests, meaning the people from the nations of which they come from. So while they're allowed to enter territory of maybe contentious zones, their purpose in those zones don't ever seem to be, and you hear about this a lot more in the Republic of Congo, quite aligned with helping the people as much as they are helping the UN's interests in that particular land area. And this is going on a lot, of course, in Africa, and has been for quite, it's just funny that they did the whole world peace thing, Conference of Berlin, splitting up Africa, much like other countries, not just Africa, without any respect for language, culture, double nationality, which has created civil wars in the Congo for the last 130 years. Not to mention, they had the Belgian dictator, Leopold, who killed 10 million Congolese who owned the Congo and was able to do that for 100 years. So between the civil wars after, they were like, hey man, we can't have this guy over here creating all these atrocities, and once the world stage knew about it, they're like, yeah, we're gonna take that away, give it back to the people, only for the people, because of them splitting them up, not knowing what the fuck and who the fuck they are with different. So 15 million people in the last 130 years, and they still are in a position where they cannot govern effectively themselves, which is where we get the, where my interest in the pygmy tribes came from, because there was a documentary from this guy who went out. He was talking about the third way. He's pretty interesting. I liked his approach. He got fucked up by an electric fence that ruined his entire life. But I saw his point was that we have tourists, right? And then we have those other people that let's preserve them as their tribes. And it's funny because those same tribes people, when you talk to them, as he did on this documentary, they're like, yeah. They like us being out in the bush people, the bushmen, you know. They come take their photos with us, seeing us go out and hunting shit and doing the same things we did forever. But who said we did not want education and wear clothes and not loincloths? Like, to say that we do not want to step into the modern world is bullshit.
I want to break free.
Honestly, it's a lot of Caucasian people trying to tell them what and who they should be. Like, oh, well, we introduced them to alcohol and now a lot of them are becoming alcoholics. It's a choice. Everyone, you cannot just keep something from someone or modernization from someone because, oh my goodness, that's going to ruin their own way to life. What are we conservative for you? You had no problem before pillaging what you want to pillage. Now you're just trying to stop them from grabbing the minerals in their own ancestral lands by telling them, oh yeah, you're cool over there in the jungle hunting for food that's no longer there. And then trying to tell us that, you know, this is the way of life that we prefer. They've even come into making jewelry for tourists so they could supplement their diet with actual foods like pasta. No one wants to live in a dirt hovel. I hate to bust it to you. We all became modernized because we all came from that same place and decided it was not the best life in which we wanted to live. So how the fuck can all these professors and scientists tell these people how they should live based on their own bias to what they feel in their society, which is all just a way to, for them to be exploited? Because the internal conflict in the Congo definitely benefits the European powers more so than it does the pygmy tribes, who are considered not even human to a lot of the Bantu people. They have them basically live as their slaves, and they're being ran off because of the fact that they can no longer, like, they're being utilized in ways like drug mules, drug dealers, or other things like tourism for income to the Bantu people. To me, it really highlights the luxuriness or the overabundance of luxuries in the Western world and the lack of simple luxuries in the places in the world that are not part of that Western stratosphere. And it only continues to widen over time. And we're trying to act as if we're not still, or European powers are trying to pretend like they're still not having hands in that pot.
Greed of money. Because of greed of money.
And another observation is, wherever there is the most porous and destitute of places, yes, even in Africa, the church continues to be the most influential and corrupting power in those regions. And I think that pretty much sums up how I feel about progression in this modern era and how knowledge is very important if you want to get out of living in ignorance. It's why a lot of these nomadic tribes now, they used to be nomadic even in other places in the world, such as Russia or Mongolian steppe, a lot of other places, Nepal, where the governments are starting to impose sending their children to school. And you hear a lot more in the Inuit side. And I understand that a lot better, because whereas in the African side, I feel like they want their children to have those opportunities and they're just being kept from it. Whereas the nomadic peoples do not want their children being forced to go to school and have a higher education, because they know that they will not come back to their nomadic life, and that life is being phased out of existence. And what is becoming of their children is that they're not having happy lives. Like, it's not making their lives better. It feels like it's making them worse. If you know anything about Russia, there is a huge... huge, particularly for males, that they do not have a long life expectancy, that alcoholism is very high, and they're also being conscripted into the army. So they kind of feel like this educational progress is just a way to get more able-bodied men away from life out on the steppes and into society where there is already a lack of males. I do think that it is responsibility for every child to provide an education to their children. Because while you saw in the same documentary, one of the Inuit kids sent their kid to school, and another one, despite the government mandate, he's like, oh, I'm leaving it up to my son. And I'm like, he's 8. Of course he doesn't want to go to school. If I was to leave it up to my daughter right now, she'd never go. And there are some parents that are doing that, and they're feeling like that's okay. And honestly, it's not. They're not at an age right now where they know what's best for them, simply put. And then you would see all of these other kids, and I'm glad that they showed that part of where they're like, yeah, my father didn't make me go to school. Now look where the fuck I am. I can't do this. I can't have any opportunity. I can't move away. I can't. Everything about what I could have possibly been at the mature age where I can make those decisions, well, now I don't have that option because you didn't make me go to school because you didn't do what you thought as a parent, which is what is best for your child in the future, despite how you feel about that future and the things in that future. And I know that's a difficult thing when it comes to tradition. So I am going to be curious to hear Mimi and Shai talk about that, because I am going to bring it up on the next Jones Chronicles with all of us. And I think I'm going to end the episode, since we're already at 30 minutes, with a personal experience from this week. I went to the UPS store. I'm standing in line. There's a woman in front of me. There's 2 people at the counter. There's another 2 behind me. They both had customers. And this one customer, she is just continuously tossing this. Like, I was over there so angry at her as a Black woman to another Black woman. Like, you cannot just show up with a piece of paper and be like, I don't know what this means. Do it for me. See, that's not adulting. That is not adulting. So this man is at this boy, I won't say call him a man because he looked like he was all of 19, 20. And he's just trying to figure out what the fuck she needs. And I can understand your frustration at this moment. I would be frustrated. Like I said, I was over there cursing her out. Like, girl, you need to know what you need. And every time you ask, like, oh, I can send it like this, she'd go, oh, well, then she tossed him back the paper. I'm like, I know reading is something you know how to do. So you can't, like, that really bothers me and makes us look bad in public. So while I'm over here cursing her out in my mind, because now 10 minutes has gone by, the other person finishes up. And then instead of helping the next customer, because it's only 2 people in the store now, because the other 2, I guess they were at the self-checkout kiosk. He gonna go and start messing with other shit. And I'm like, that is so annoying. Just finish out the line. There's no reason. There's nothing on this desk that is that immediate that you can't just help the next customer and clear out your store. But of course, he was like, I don't feel like doing any more work. I've seen him before because I've been in this UPS store plenty of times. I didn't like him last time, but I didn't have a huge problem with him. I just don't think that he knows what customer service is. And I guess that's fair when you're 22. But then then as he's messing around with his shit, another person comes in the store, and he's a white male. And he just comes right past me and stands in front of me. Like, not right directly in front of me, but over to the side, but in front of me. And I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe he had something he was supposed to drop off. And he tries to get the one dude's attention, but he doesn't respond to him. And even I'm thinking, if he has something to drop off, unless he's dropping it off at the corner and walking the fuck out. But then I'm thinking in my mind, he's really not trying to just come in here, saw me standing here, and just said, fuck you. But then I feel like that's exactly what he was planning. Because next thing I know, now that the Black lady has finally walked away, the white clerk who has been seeing me stand here for 15 motherfucking minutes, right, goes, hello, sir, how can I help you?
You gotta be kidding me.
Oh, hell no.
You gonna learn today.
And my first reaction was to look at the Native American guy being like, okay, maybe he's going to say something about, no, he starts walking up. He looks up, sees me, puts his head back down. And that's when I was like, no, you got the wrong one. No, sir. Excuse me. I've been standing here for 15 minutes patiently. You will be serving me next. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm too damn black for you to not to see me. Okay. You just turn me out of your brain and saw a white, or even if you did think, okay, she was standing there, but I have a white customer. So the white person comes first. Cause that is how he reacted. And then the Native American go say something at that point and say, oh, you know, you could have used the self kiosk. I said, that's not the point. The point of it is I was standing here for 15 minutes. He walked in. Not only did he walk in, and he did, the one other boy gonna apologize. And he's like, oh, I didn't know. How do y'all not know? I'm standing. What am I? Again, unless you see me as nothing, you should have both saw me as a customer. And I didn't act a fool. I didn't. I let it even go. I said, that's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Just give me my receipts. Let's keep it moving. But that is the type of unconscious bias shit that happens to black people all the time. And I would love to say this is not something that doesn't happen to me a lot. Not a lot. I won't say a lot because that's over exaggerating. But it has happened to me often enough where I'm like, the fuck. And it's always when I'm standing in line. And let me tell you, the last time it happened, there was two different responses. I was quiet the first time. 2020, Christina was not playing. After 2020, Christina, we will not be quiet anymore. If you enjoy this podcast, wherever you listen to good podcasts, go down to the rating section, drop some stars, leave a review. My social media will be there as well. Like, share, subscribe. If you want to send feedback for our next episode or have a topic of conversation you want to bring up, blackercouch@gmail.com. Until next time, peace, hair grease, and blacker magic.